There is a great irony in the American church today, whether it is in conservative American evangelicalism or the Pentecostal movement or mainline Protestant liberalism. There is a great deal of talk about the Holy Spirit, perhaps more than at any time in church history since the 4th century. And yet, there perhaps has never been a time in which the Holy Spirit's person and work has been so misunderstood by Christians. A study conducted by Ligonier Ministries found that over 50% of self-professed American evangelicals said that they thought that the Holy Spirit was more of an impersonal force rather than a person. And over 50% said that he was not God in the same sense that the Father is God. That is a strange thing to say about the third person of the Holy Trinity. They perhaps are not aided by many newer translations of the Bible, which in their zeal for erasing gender-specific language to make it more inclusive, intentionally mistranslate Jesus' words in our gospel text today. Jesus says, "He," namely the Holy Spirit, "will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Instead, many modern translations read, "It will teach you all things," thus depersoning the divine person. Or from the side of Protestant liberalism, I had the misfortune of seeing a video recently of a couple newly elected bishops in the ELCA, in which they explained that we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then they began to chant, "Let her out! Let her out! Let her out!" thus identifying the Holy Spirit with a supposed feminine aspect of the Godhead. Now, St. Paul says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And we could even translate that all Scripture is spirited out by God. And Peter says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit calls himself He. And we are all so concerned with pronouns these days, so let us use the Holy Spirit's preferred pronouns. Thank you very much. But on a more serious note, can we say that it is anything other than blasphemy for the church to change God's own confession about himself in order to fit in with our modern culture? It is certainly blasphemy. And Christ gives a serious warning to those who would blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Take heed, dear children, lest you be carried along by the spirit of this age and not by the Spirit of God. It is not just the Holy Spirit's person that is under attack, but also his work. Again, among Protestant liberals, it is common to justify departures from the clear biblical teaching on things such as sex, gender, and marriage by an appeal to the Holy Spirit. The claim is that the Spirit guides us, leads us, directs us, and speaks to us through culture. And thus, when the church approves a same-sex marriage or the ELCA develops a liturgical rite for the affirmation of gender transition, they are simply following the leading of the Spirit. Let her out, as those bishops chanted. Unchain the Spirit from the dead letter that he has written in the Bible by the prophets, apostles, and evangelists. Luther did not set us free from the tyranny of the papacy so that we could be bound by a paper pope, it is said. And yes, I have heard the Holy Scriptures referred to as a paper pope in several publications. We need to see that what she is doing in the new age is the call. I've heard Brian Wolfmuller, pastor down in Texas, recount one such conversation that he had with an Episcopalian priest, and his response was brilliant. The priest told Wolfmuller that he believed that the Spirit speaks to us through culture. Now, Wolfmuller had just returned from a missions trip to Africa. And he said, you know, I was just in Africa, and their culture seems to really support traditional family values. Why is it that the Spirit, according to you, only seems to speak through liberal white culture. You know, I think your Holy Spirit is racist. which would be the case. But of course, the Spirit does not speak to us through culture. The Apostle Paul warns us not to be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The Greek word translated here as wind is pneuma, which is the same word used for spirit. So we can equally say that we are not to be carried along by every spirit of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And that is what all these claims are that say that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through culture. They are the doctrines of a false, malignant, and evil spirit devised by human cunning, craftiness, and deceit to turn us away from the Spirit's word in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And again, Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." The Spirit does not speak his own words, but he speaks the words given to him by Jesus. He points to what Jesus taught. If someone comes to you and says that the Holy Spirit has said such and such through culture, but it is not what Jesus has spoken, I can guarantee you that it is not the Holy Spirit speaking. It is another spirit, the spirit of this age, the spirit of Antichrist that speaks. "Take heed, dear children, lest you be carried along by the spirit of this age, rather than the Spirit of God." So too, in conservative American evangelicalism and Pentecostalism, the work of the Spirit is misunderstood, yet they claim to be the greatest champions of the Spirit. I have been to many non-denominational worship services where all they talk about is the Holy Spirit, the miracles of the Spirit, the visions given by the Spirit, the Spirit's leading them. The prayers are to the Spirit, the songs sung to the Spirit and about the Spirit. The sermon preaches the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And Jesus is hardly mentioned at all in the whole service. Heck, Calvary Chapel, one of the largest associations of non-denominational churches with 1,600 congregations, doesn't even put a cross on their churches, but replaces it with a Holy Spirit dove. Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." During the Last Supper, Jesus is exasperated with his disciples. He says, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me?" But he promises them that the day is coming when they will finally know him. And that day is when the Spirit comes. On that day, they will truly believe in him. The Spirit's work is to point to Jesus, not to himself. The Spirit's work is to reveal Jesus and teach Jesus' words, not his own. Jesus says, "When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you." What does that mean? The Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, because he will preach the law, saying, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You cannot save yourself. You are in need of a Savior." The Holy Spirit will preach the gospel. He will convict the world concerning righteousness, because there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus has died for your forgiveness, risen for your justification, and he has been glorified and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Jesus says he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Namely, he will take my righteousness and my life, which is properly mine, and he will give it to you. What will the Spirit preach? He will preach Jesus. The Spirit's work is to glorify Jesus. As Jesus says, he will glorify me. If you are in a church that preaches the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, and Jesus is an afterthought, if the cross of Christ is removed by a Holy Spirit dove, you are in a church where the work of the Spirit is quenched. For he testifies about Christ. A perfect example of the true work of the Spirit is seen in our Acts reading. Those disciples who were hidden behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, those disciples who, despite the resurrection, were still in the darkness of unbelief, are filled with the Spirit. And what do? They burst out onto the streets and began to proclaim the mighty works of God in Christ Jesus. The Spirit has worked two miracles here. First, he has given the apostles the gift of tongues, so that the gospel, the good news about the resurrection of Jesus, might be immediately proclaimed to all the crowds gathered in Jerusalem and spread throughout the empire. Second, the Spirit works the miracle of faith. The unbelieving hearts of the disciples are made new. They doubt no more, they fear no more, they hide no more. Carried along by the Spirit of God, they began to preach and proclaim Christ. Peter preached, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus, the one foreseen and forsworn by the prophets, and is exalted to the right hand of God, this Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ." Now, when the crowds gathered around them heard this sermon preached by Peter, they were cut to the heart, and they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Here we see the true work of the Holy Spirit. Carried along by the Spirit of God, Peter proclaims Christ crucified, Christ dead, Christ risen, and Christ glorified. The people are cut to the hearts. The Spirit convicts them of their sins. And Peter proclaims the gospel. "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And it is not just the forgiveness of sins that God gives. We live in the last days, as Peter says, when the Spirit of God will be poured out on his male servants and female servants alike. Peter says, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Kayla, Timothy, and Zayden, today the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you in the lavish washing away of your sins. He has given you a new heart to trust in Jesus. He works the miracle of faith in you so that you might receive Christ's grace and Christ's mercy your whole life long. Listen, dear children, all of you, let yourself be carried away by the Spirit of God. Trust in Jesus and proclaim his name. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.